darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And good Monday evening to you. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe tonight on the Hamilton Corner on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day in which some of us had to work and a whole bunch of people had the day off, working in banks, schools, and hey, you work for governments. I don't know if it's state government and federal government, but a whole bunch of people had the day off. But we are here to bring you up to date because news didn't take a day off. We'll tell you that. And it was a busy day in Washington, D.C. A lot of coverage today on the news channels of a protest slash demonstration in Richmond, Virginia. A whole pile of gun owners from across the country. They were there from as far away as Louisiana. Very upset with what the Democrat-controlled government there plans to do with regards to taking freedoms away from gun owners. And I tell you, it's a bit crazy. And talk about extremes. But as our boss, Tim Wildman, has often said over the last number of years, elections have consequences. And when you elect certain people who think, you know what, we don't like the Second Amendment and we're going to do everything that we can to try to curtail your rights under the Second Amendment, that's the kind of government you get, and you can expect these kinds of things. I'll tell you what they have planned there in Virginia, which precipitated this demonstration today, things like banning gun ranges. That's part of it. Yeah, there are multiple steps to all of this. Who you can sell gun to, even your own family members, when you can buy a gun, all of those sorts of things. And as a result of all of that, it led to this demonstration today. As I say, thousands of people showing up in Richmond. The governor there, a Democrat, Northam, declared a state of emergency, and he wasn't allowing anybody with a gun on their person into the immediate area around the legislature building. And so it was all fenced off, and there was one entrance in there that you could go in. But I would say the vast majority of the demonstrators stayed outside of that because you were allowed to carry your weapon outside of there. But I'll tell you what. Earlier today, there was an interview done with one of the speakers at this rally. His name is Stephen Williford. I'm going to play you a clip of him in just a second here. If that name is not familiar to you, go back a couple of years to the church shooting in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And he is the man that brought down the gunman that shot and killed almost two dozen people. He was invited to be a guest at this rally today, and he talked about why his AR-15 was necessary in this case, and he says the Virginia gun ban is unconstitutional. No kidding. It's going to be cut number 3.
He came out, he had a tactical bulletproof helmet and class 3 body armor. If I had not had an AR-15, I would probably have not made it. The people of Virginia need to know that they can't stand for these kind of bans. Our Constitution stands against it. It shall not be infringed. And these were rights that were given to us by God, not by politicians. They were rights, they were things that were set out and said that the government has no right to infringe on, that they're rights given to us by God.
There you have it, Stephen Williford. He says some important things there that can't help you lead to the conclusion that the agenda here is about control of the population, the government wanting to control and to compromise on what is guaranteed in this case under the Second Amendment. And that's what they're trying to do there in Virginia, is control what you can do and to punish what is your right under the Second Amendment? It was very interesting, the crowd that showed up there. But you know what? There was, a year ago, an indication of the kind of government that was coming. Now, that was before the Democrats gained full control. In other words, the House and the Senate there, State House and Senate in Virginia, plus the governor's office. Back a year ago, you remember the controversy in Virginia over a Democrat representative there who, in testimony, talked about basically doing abortions on women moments before a fully formed baby was born. You remember that? And the governor at that time, and he's still governor today, Ralph Northam, basically backed up Democrat member of the legislature, Kathy Tran. She said at that time her bill would allow that, would allow the abortion of a fully formed baby. In fact, I went back and got this AP story. Now, Northam, the current governor, is also a pediatric neurologist, defended the legislation and noted that late-term abortions are usually done because the infant is severely deformed or unable to survive after birth. But this is what he said. Northam said that if a woman were to desire an abortion as she's going into labor, now remember, this is a fully formed 9-month baby. The baby would be, quote, I'm quoting him here, resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the doctors and the mother, leaving open what would happen next. Well, rightfully, there was outrage across this country. People like Florida Senator Marco Rubio called it what it was, endorsement of legal infanticide. Elections, folks, have consequences. And you better be checking these kinds of things out as we head into another election cycle. Where do people stand on the issues? And we are heading into what I believe to be one of the most critical federal elections this coming fall. That, again, could change the course of a nation. Now, back in 2016, there was a warning and there was a choice. Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And the people in this country, for perhaps a variety of reasons, maybe just because they didn't like Hillary Clinton, I'm not sure. But there certainly was an agenda difference. And ever since that election, Democrats have been trying to undo what was done by the people of America, and that is the election of Donald Trump in 2016. You will remember, the talk right away was of impeachment. The Democrats, right away, talked about, we're going to impeach this guy. Long before that phone call last July between President Trump and the president of Ukraine. So don't be fooled by the trial of President Trump, which begins tomorrow in the Senate. Democrats are out there. They're absolutely giddy. You know, the hypocrisy that we have witnessed, folks. You know, Nancy Pelosi talking about the solemnness of this. Remember back month two ago? She talked about the solemnness of this occasion. And when they voted for impeachment in the House, when I should say the Democrats voted for impeachment. Let's be clear about that. It was just the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi wore a black dress that day. But remember last week? Oh, they were just giddy on the signing of these impeachment documents. Nancy Pelosi had pens created with her signature on it. Like she's a rock star. They were just giddy over the fact that they had the numbers in the House that they could vote to impeach. And now we're moving to the trial. It's very interesting. Over the weekend, the Republicans, the actually the defense team for the president, the White House defense team, put together their first kind of official documents and how they're going to defend the president. And basically the defense is this, that he has committed no crimes. I was watching some analysis of this just a few moments ago on the Five on Fox. The Constitution, as it deals with impeachment, is very clear. There has to have been a crime committed. A crime has to be committed. That's not the case. No crime has been committed. So how do you impeach a president when he's not committed any crime? Telling a government that there are conditions about you getting aid. Well, I would hope that any president will put conditions on where our taxpayers' money goes when you're talking about foreign governments. Of course you would put conditions. But a very minor point of that conversation last July with the president of Ukraine was, and hey, could you for us investigate the fact that then President Biden, when he was vice president, told the president of Ukraine of that day, you better fire that prosecutor who's out there investigating things like what's going on at that energy company, where, by the way, his son was on the board of directors. We'd like to, President Trump said, we'd like to investigate the confession that Joe Biden made in 2016, the quid pro quo that Biden said he gave the government of Ukraine less than 24 hours to decide to fire that prosecutor, or they weren't going to get any money from the Obama team. So that was the real quid pro quo. But that wasn't the case. Ukraine got its money. By the way, the Obama administration, they gave the Ukraine blankets. That's how they were supposed to fight the Russians. That was the real quid pro quo, which was done by Vice President Biden at the time. So this is the charge that's been made up. But you know what? As I say, Pelosi and the gang are absolutely Gideon. In fact, Pelosi was on some talk shows this weekend. And this is going to be cut number four, Jeff. Pelosi was on talk shows this weekend, one of them being Real Time with Bill Maher. And she was fist pumping and laughing with Bill Maher about the president, as she has been quoting several times. Regardless of what happens in the trial, he's been impeached forever. Cut number four.
Thank you so much for waiting till we got back on the air before you started the impeachment. That deserves a fist pump. Thank you.
It isn't about politics.
Right.
It isn't about partisanship. It's about patriotism. It's about our Constitution. And you're impeached forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely giddy about this. So what happened to this solemn, thing, and she told the nation there back several weeks ago she was praying for the president every day? No, she's absolutely giddy. She's absolutely giddy about it. Ted Cruz also talking on Fox's Sunday Morning. He says, you know what? She can say impeachment lasts forever, but also the president, when he's acquitted forever. Cut number six.
Nancy Pelosi is going out on TV crowing that the president has been impeached forever.
Right.
Well, when we get to final judgment, the president will have been acquitted forever of these bogus impeachment charges.
Mm, yep.
That's a much better outcome for the president, for the country.
Yeah, so tomorrow, I'm not sure how big the audience is going to be for this, because I think the American public is really getting kind of trial fatigue, impeachment fatigue, and the ratings have shown this. Nevertheless, the trial will begin tomorrow, and one of the big questions is going to be whether the witnesses are called, whether the Democrats demand for more witnesses, whether the Republicans are going to give in on that. So we'll have to wait and see. I think the numbers, as far as when it comes to a vote, they have to have 67 votes in order to find the president guilty. Don't believe that's going to happen. But we're going to be treated to a Democrat Party charade once again. Elections have consequences. Much more ahead on this Monday edition of the Hamilton Corner. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe. Back. Don't go away.
He said it was all a big mistake. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. James Shoup won a 2016 court ruling to become America's first non-binary person. He was considered a hero of the LGBT activists 3 years ago when he convinced an Oregon judge to allow him to change his gender to neither male nor female. But Shoup, who is male, now says he suffered from mental illness and was a casualty of a system that rubber stamps people with gender dysphoria rather than giving them help. He says, "I should have been stopped. But out of control, transgender activism made the nurse practitioner too scared to say no." Shoup says it is too easy to be legally recognized as so-called transgender. On Christmas Eve 2019, a judge legally restored his gender to male, and Shoup hopes his story will help others get counseling and avoid the same mistake. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio, too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That, too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
Have you been looking for a way to serve others? Are you able to serve in a ministry without being paid? You and Friendships might be the perfect match. Friendships is currently taking applications for volunteers providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished, both here at home and around the world. Get more information at friendships.org or by calling 337-433-5022.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. One of the titles the King or Queen of England carries is Defender of the Faith. Well, they're not doing it very well anymore, but America has a political leader who is. Last week, President Trump issued proclamations defending prayer in public schools, which has virtually been stamped out by activist judges and enemies of the truth. He also issued a presidential directive that Christian service organizations must no longer be discriminated against in receiving grants from federal agencies. For decades, Christian service organizations have been shut out of full participation in public life by religious bigots with power. No more. For all his faults, President Trump has been the best friend the kingdom of God has had since Ronald Reagan. God deserves thanks, and the president deserves our prayers.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the Monday edition of the Hamilton Corner. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe today. You know, people are starting to talk a little bit more about what's going to happen in November. And today, Brad Parscale, who is President Trump's campaign manager, he hasn't given any interviews for months now. And it's kind of interesting. It's often a question that's asked even amongst Trump supporters. How is he holding up under all of this? I do not remember a president in my lifetime who has been under this kind of pressure. Now, you just stop and think about this. Every day in the mainstream media, it is constant. I'm talking about 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It is constant. If you say something, they put a negative spin on it. If you don't do something, they put a negative spin on it. Everything you do, foreign policy, domestic policy, it's all negative. Democrats, out to get you from day one. Hollywood, out to get you since day one. It is absolutely amazing that he still wants to do the job. You know, his family's disparaged. He is constantly under attack. Very interesting, talking with Brad Parscale. He was interviewed by Bill Hamer of Fox News today. And they started looking at polls back, well, four years ago. And at that time, it had been decided, so it was, I guess, the summer of 2016. his opponent was Hillary Clinton. And the polls were starting to show he was doing very well against Hillary Clinton. So Hammer was asking Brad Pascal today, well, right now the polls that we see constantly show the president, favorability rating, all of these sorts of things, not looking very good compared to 2016. So the question that goes through a lot of people's mind is, after all of this negative publicity, is it starting to have an effect on the electorate? Very interesting response to that from Pascal, Brad Pascal. Here he is, cut number 14.
I've got some numbers for you. 2016 suburban voters. President Trump led Hillary Clinton by 4 points. Among suburban women, he trailed her by only 7. From December of this year, among suburban voters, he now trails by 11. Among suburban women, he's down by a whopping 24 points. How come?
Well, those are different measurements also. You're measuring one on a ballot and you're measuring one on approval. Those are different things. The president has actually never done better in all his numbers when you start looking at ballots. When you actually say, do you want President Trump or do you want a president blah from the other left side and the policies they stand for, the president does significantly better.
That's very interesting. It depends, you know, and we've known this before. It depends on how the question is asked. Because right now, we don't know who's going to be up against President Trump. The Democrats are still trying to figure that out. And I think a lot of Democrats aren't happy with any of that field. But we don't have a one-on-one yet. So if you ask somebody how they feel about President Trump, well, a lot of that depends on what TV networks they're watching to get their news, all of that kind of thing. Now, the other question that Pascal was asked was this by Bill Hammer. He was asked about the impact of this, the impeachment, what he thinks the impact is going to be on the president this fall. Here's how that conversation went. Cut 15.
How badly could this impeachment trial harm your campaign?
I'll tell you from the campaign side, our numbers have gone up. I told the president this right out of the gate. I said, if they try to impeach you and they try to do this for doing nothing wrong at all, you're the one that's going to become victorious out of this. It's going to create lots of fundraising, which we've already proven with over $200 million in the bank between our committees. Our numbers have gone up, and the independents see this farce and this hoax. And I'm telling you, the American people don't like a bamboozle. They don't like a kangaroo court, and they don't like this stuff.
Well, November will tell the accuracy of that assessment. But, you know, if you do a report card on President Trump, and all I'm saying is, let's look at this factually. Let's go back at what he promised during the election campaign in 2016 that got him elected. Let's just do that. Now, one of the things he promised to do was make America great again. Part of that was to bring our economy back, to do something about the high unemployment rate in this country. And how was he going to do that? He said he was going to adjust the taxes, corporate taxes. He was going to reduce taxes for all of us to stimulate our buying, but give companies a tax break again so that those that moved offshore would move back again, would encourage companies here to expand because they weren't given the government as much in the way of taxes. That has worked. Now, that's not a biased political feeling. That's worked. Unemployment rate, 3.5%. Unemployment rate record lows across the board, whether it's white Americans, black Americans, brown-skinned Americans, it doesn't matter. Record lows. Women, unemployment rate for women, lowest record levels. So that's work. That's fact. You don't hear the Democrats talking about that. You don't hear them talking about the economy. He is just, North American Free Trade Act, has the new one in place between Mexico, the United States, and Canada, signed off, all done. And the first phase of the new trade agreement with China, signed off on last week. They said it couldn't be done. But there you have it. And it's going to mean billions of dollars in trade for instance, American farmers. In fact, there was a story earlier today How do American farmers feel about Donald Trump? What is it, 83%? 83%. Think he's doing a great job. Don't be fooled, folks, by what the major networks based in New York and the folks out in California, running California into the ground, I would say, the Democrats there. Don't be fooled by what they say. Don't be fooled by what Hollywood elites say. Just look at the facts. Securing the border. He promised to do that. I don't know if we'll get to that story this evening, but the latest numbers out show that we have the lowest rate of people trying to get in the country illegally. And a policy, a new policy that President Trump put in place that has the Mexican government stopping people coming up from Honduras and Guatemala. The Mexican people, our soldiers, are down on their southern border stopping people from coming. Now, how did that happen? Did the Mexican government just volunteer to do that? No. President Trump said he would put sanctions on them unless they start stopping people at their southern border who wanted to come up here and come into this country illegally. So he's done that. That's been a tough row to hoe because you will remember the Democrats didn't want to give the president money to secure, build better wall. But 100 miles of that at least has been completed. When it comes to our judiciary and getting judges in place, it's 184 federal judges, I think, is the last number that I heard, 184 put in place, and they'll be there for a long time. Two Supreme Court justices put in place. I mean, these are all things that he said he would do. And last, but certainly not least, the moving of our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How many presidents, Republican and Democrat, have promised that through the years? And then one excuse or another, I better not do that because this group over here is going to be really upset. Can't do that. No, let's just wait and see. Let's wait another 6 months. No, the president did that, made it a priority right away. So you look at all of this, and again, this is not a matter of opinion. All I'm saying is that he has done what he promised to do. And he has been successful despite all of this opposition that we talked about. He's been able to do that. So, his competition. 2 weeks from tonight, folks, are the Iowa caucuses. That's when Democrats begin to decide who among these candidates they think can beat Donald Trump. Don't let them fool you when they describe these candidates as some moderates. No, they're all far left. Joe Biden, Klobuchar, certainly Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. Really interesting, over the weekend, the New York Times editorial board endorsed Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar, too. Now, normally a paper will, they'll endorse one candidate. Now, what they're up to with this is like, well, we can't make up our mind either. It was really quite interesting. They thought they're describing a radical and realist models. But I wanted to read you a little bit of their endorsement of Elizabeth Warren. One of the things they praised her for, she's a gifted storyteller. I'm not, this is a quote. She's a gifted storyteller. Pocahontas. Yeah, how many degrees of Native Indian do I have in me? Let me tell you that story, which turned out not to be quite true. But that's what they said. She's a gifted storyteller. If I was the editor at the New York Times, I probably would have left that one out because that just opens the door for all kinds of things. Who they say, the New York Times, the gray lady, as she's known, who has, quote, emerged as a standard bearer for the Democratic left. Editorial board called her path to the White House challenging but not hard to envision. Really? Well, in my mind, she and Bernie really aren't that different at all. They're promising the world free for everybody. You know, free medical care for everybody. Doesn't matter whether you're in the country illegally. We're going to give you free medical care. Basically, free university. Go right ahead. Somebody else will pay the bill. Which leads one to wonder, well, why then didn't you like Bernie? Well, the editorial board wrote that Bernie Sanders appears to have missed his moment. The paper pointed out that he would be 79 years old when he's sworn in and has recently suffered a heart attack. They say his health is a serious concern. Very interesting anecdotal story that was told by one of the Fox hosts today. He said he was getting on his elevator at his building last night. Getting on the elevator, the doors were about to close, and this hand comes in. And three people get on the elevator, and they all have Bernie Sanders sweatshirts on. They've been out campaigning for Bernie Sanders in New York yesterday. And, of course, they know who this guy is. He's a Fox host. And we know who you are, and we don't agree with anything. But they do. Here's what they said. And he was talking to them about, I guess, about the New York Times not endorsing Bernie Sanders. And this is a quote from him as quoting them. And he said, well, what if the Democratic Party does not nominate Bernie this time around? Because Bernie got cheated out of it last time around. Because Hillary Clinton and the establishment Democrats made sure he didn't win. So this guy, this Fox host, asked these guys, okay, what are you going to do if Bernie is not nominated this time, if the party works against him again? They said, we're going to do what we did in 2016. These are Bernie Sanders people. We're going to do what we did in 2016. Oh, what's that? We're going to vote for Trump. Now you stop and think about that for a little bit. There are a whole pile. Bernie Sanders, 79, yes. But his ideology has a lot of support out there amongst a lot of young people. By the way, he also has the support of AOC. A lot of the squad members, they like Bernie. And we know the squad members are a rebellious bunch. They're not going to toe the party line. So given that bunch, and given what these Bernie Sanders people told this Fox host last night, in the elevator there, that conversation. What leads one to believe is there will be a real rebellion that will break out amongst the Democrat faithful this time if they decide to go with Biden or somebody else or Elizabeth Warren. So that's going to be very, very interesting to see. But the reality is, folks, no matter who it is, no matter if it is Bernie, but I don't think it's going to be, I think it will be Biden or Elizabeth Warren. But it comes down to that. And when that choice is finally crystallized in people's minds, let's say it is Joe Biden. What's he going to run on? What's his platform? I was watching Biden's speech to a black church in the last few days. And he tried to associate, this was his, you know, his piece of resistance against Trump. They tried to connect him with the KKK. Now, how many people, even if you don't like Donald Trump, are going to try to connect him with the KKK? Remember what we just talked about. The employment, the economy in this country has been good for everybody. I don't know. I don't see where the Democrats have a winner in all this game at all. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Could Trump beat the gifted storyteller, Elizabeth Warren? Let's hear from you. 888-589-8840. It's a Monday. Fred sitting in for Abe. We're back right after the break.
I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
Illegal immigration hurts all Americans.
Hi, this is Brian Fisher. These are perilous times in America. It's critical that you stay alert to the cultural conflicts across our land. Focal Point helps you to do just that. Join me weekday afternoons at 1 Central here on American Family Radio. We're fighting a winnable war.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
This is Amy Wishman at Life Choice Ministries in Manhattan, Kansas. Several board members and donors told me that this banquet was our best banquet ever. Thanks to J.J. Jasper.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
Do you pray for the Great Commission? Hi, it's Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word since 1938 for only $5 a Bible. At Bible League, we pray that His kingdom will come, and we see it coming in the lives of new Christians eager to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus by having their own Bible.
The need for a change is through the Word of God.
It is so important for the Bible, the Word of God, to be made available in whatever languages that are needed by people.
People now are very open to hear the gospel.
Whoever comes and is able to give us a Bible, it will be better than giving us food to eat.
You know, this pastor in Africa is not denying the need for physical nourishment, but he's stressing the need for spiritual nourishment for new believers who cannot access a Bible because they live under corrupt governments or among majority religions that persecute. Will you learn more about becoming a blessing in this kingdom work by visiting SendBiblesNow.org. SendBiblesNow.org or call 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Favich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. It's not unusual to hear stories about people selling food items that resemble someone famous. There was the potato chip that looked like Richard Nixon, the Cheeto that resembled our Lord, and then there's the chicken tender that looks like a manatee. Melinda Disbro bought the chicken tender from Culver's in Apollo Beach, Florida. She was so impressed with her rare culinary find, she decided to sell the tender on Facebook's marketplace. Must see to appreciate, she wrote, new condition, asking for a grand total of $5,000. Ms. Disbro says she plans to donate the money to a manatee charity. Now, $5,000 is actually a pretty good bargain compared to the asking price for a Popeye's fried chicken sandwich duct taped to a wall. It was all the rage at a Miami art show. The chicken sandwich masterpiece can be yours for a grand total of $120,000. I wonder if it comes with fries and a biscuit. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
888-589-8840 is the number to call. Elections do have consequences, folks. And they are on display. I hope you're noticing that right now. The election of Donald Trump in 2016, we've just been talking about, whether you like him or not, he's made good on his promises in securing our borders, better economy than we have seen in decades in this country, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, all of those things. On the other side of that, you have a group of people, whether it's Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, whoever it is, they want to take the country in a different direction. They say Donald Trump has taken the country in the wrong direction. We were just talking a moment ago about former Vice President Joe Biden. He was in a Bethlehem Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina, just in the last few days. It's a predominantly black church. And he was attempting to link President Trump to the KKK. Go ahead, cut 12.
Some mornings I wake up and I think it's more like
what it must have been in 1920 than 2020. And a young woman was killed. And they asked the president what he thought. And he said there were very fine people on both sides. What I realized is that hate just hides. And when it comes out from under the rocks, when it gets a little bit of oxygen, this president and his Ku Klux Klans and the rest of them, they think they've beaten us again. But they have no idea. We're just coming back.
That was former Vice President Joe Biden in a church just a few days ago. Once again, pulling totally out of context, and I believe deliberately lying about what the president said about the violence in Charlottesville. The context of what the president said at the time. Remember, this was about the moving of a monument. And there were people there not interested in violence. They just thought it was a bad idea to move that monument. That's all. And that's what the president was referring to. And there were others there that were pro moving the monument. They weren't interested in violence either. That's what President Trump was talking about. But the left and Joe Biden is repeating that misinformation or deliberate misleading the American public as to why Trump made that remark. But you notice the connection they're trying to make, playing the race card, playing the race card. But that's the kind of language the president's opponents have been doing. And as I say, whether it's Hollywood, whether it's mainstream news media, or the Democrats, that is the drum that they have been beating. It's very interesting. Today being Martin Luther King Day, Dr. Alveda King talking about how her uncle would address this kind of division that we do have in this country right now. Cut 16.
There's so much that we can do. And I believe, because one of his famous quotes, "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear." So I really believe he would ask us to communicate without hatred, without fear, without rancor. I believe we can still do that in America. I really do.
Yeah, we can do it, but it takes a change of heart. That's what it's going to take. But I'll tell you what, the left, such hatred for President Trump, that's what we're seeing on display. And I believe that's what Dr. Alveda King was referring to there, is the hatred against not only President Trump, but let's not forget it, folks, the hatred against those who support President Trump. Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables. You know, how they attempt, the left does, to equate support of President Trump to white supremacy. Playing the race card over and over again. It's, you know, as the old saying is, trying to keep the hate alive. That's what the left is trying to do, is trying to keep that hate alive and try to get elected by getting people to hate Donald Trump. How shameful that is. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Let's go to the phones right now, and David in Alabama. David, good evening. Welcome. Go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I had a couple questions. One is, do you think actually they'll have the gall to put Biden with Elizabeth Taylor and try to run them?
Elizabeth Taylor? To, you know, no, that'd be difficult.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren.
You know, Elizabeth Warren. I'm sorry. I apologize. But
no,
you know,
to
get the women's vote, then, you know, his vote or whatever.
No.
I think they're both crazy, but, you know, that's just me.
Are you saying Biden would be on the top of the ticket and Warren on the bottom? No, I think Elizabeth Warren would never stand for that. She really wouldn't. Plus,
so you don't think she would just want the power bad enough just to go along with it?
No, I don't see it. Because they're all on the left. All the Democrat candidates are to the far left of where I think most of the country is in their political philosophy. So Biden tries to coach his remarks a little bit to try to appeal to some in the mushy middle. Elizabeth Warren, if you listen to what she says, not speculate, but listen to what she says, she wants to take the country to as far left as Bernie Sanders does. So how you would bring those two together and try to sell that to the American public, that would be a hard thing to do. So, no, I don't see a pairing up of Biden and Warren at all. I've been wrong before, but I just don't see it. So that's the answer to that question. All right. Bonnie in Iowa. Bonnie, good evening.
Hi, good evening, America. You know, today is a Martin Luther King holiday, and I've just been inspired to talk. I think right now, most importantly, let me just say off the bat, I believe without a doubt that President Trump is going to beat them all. Because fundamentally, the people that vote for President Trump, the people who listen to him, who got, you know, felt the spirit of what he was talking about, he inspired us. That's what Martin Luther King did. He inspired us. But where does real inspiration come from? It comes from the Bible. Well, who gave us the Bible? Those men that put together the Bible were inspired by the creator of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, known to many people as God, but actually his name was Yah or Yahweh. And what I think we need is we have to get down to being inspired again. There's a lack of inspiration in our ministers. There's a lack of inspiration in the whole entire Christianhood because people are scared. There's so many crazy things going on. The Democrats and the Republicans are fighting and arguing. I was recently inspired. I went to Westbo Press, and I came across a book called Yah's Book of Psalms, and I thought, well, that's weird, Yah's Book of Psalms. And I said, wait a minute, Psalms comes out of the Holy Bible. There's a Book of Psalms. So I got a little, you know, intrigued. So I went further, and I read the excerpts on it, and it was a beautiful poem, and it's just a collection of inspiration, how to pray to Yahweh, who sent his only begotten son, Jesus, whom the world knows as Jesus. The Hebrew name is Yahshua. We need to go back into the Bible, get that old Bible beaten feeling again, do it with love. Do it with love like Martin Luther King did. Nobody would have paid attention to Dr. King if he was going to talk violent, but he rang that biblical thing of love, and everybody, no matter what color we were, we knew deep down inside that's what it's going to take. That's what's going to overcome all this evil, all of this confusion about the sexes and all of that. Yah, Almighty Yahweh, who sent his only begotten son, Jesus, who Hebrew name is Yahshua. That's what we got to get to, America. Yeah. Those founding fathers, well, they might agree deeply in the Bible or not, but you know what? They were not going to get that Constitution fulfilled unless they did what the American people wanted. And those settlers, and yes, those slaves, and all those people that were together, there's one thing that they fundamentally knew. That Holy Bible was beaten in their hearts. That's how come we got free. That's how come we had the Civil Rights Movement. And you know what? The devil was trying to stop us. He's causing division and hate to get out here amongst us, and you know, I don't like you, you don't like me. So what it does, it causes a ball of confusion. Now nobody knows if they're a man or a woman. They're killing little babies. Yah, Almighty Yahweh will not tolerate that, nor will his son, our Savior, who the world knows as Jesus. Hebrew name is Yahshua.
Yes.
We have got to come together and be strong in love and faith, and yes, declare the power of the Bible, not be afraid of it. That all of those heroes that came before us, all of those people who gave their lives, no matter what color they were, the sound that really was vibrating through the world, why they're remembered today, is because of the love that the creator of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob inspired in them.
And Bonnie, listen, you're preaching well there, lady. You're preaching this evening, and I can't disagree with a thing that you're saying. Thank you so much. I don't know what church you go to, Bonnie, but you're a blessing there, I'm sure. All right, good to have you on the program this evening. To Merle in Mississippi. Good evening, Merle.
Hey, Fred. I think I need to borrow some energy from Bonnie.
That's for sure. She was preaching it.
She was, and she was right, too. And being an old Reaganite from long ago, I was one of his state chairmen. You know, I can tell you one thing. I tell you, we could only dream about the all Republicans could, the level of support he has. Trump has in the black community now.
Mm.
The polls are just to see it in the 35 range, I think I've seen, and that's just incredible. And I think there were some Christians who didn't know about Trump last time. Maybe some set it out, some went to third party. Can't imagine any real Christians who would have voted for Hillary, but I think this time they've seen him, they've taken his measure, and I loved Reagan, he was my hero, but I will say this, the proof is in the pudding, and I don't think there's ever been a more pro-Christian president in my lifetime.
That's right,
we
Merle.
Have right now.
You're exactly right, sir, exactly right, and I take him back just a few days ago when he signed on once again for religious freedom in this country. And taking steps albeit by executive order, because he wouldn't get through this Congress right now, by executive order, ensuring that Christians have their freedom of expression in the job place. And I tell you what, again, we started off this program this evening. Elections have consequences. Just stop and think. Stop and think if Hillary Clinton had won in 2016. Where would we be tonight, America? If Hillary Clinton won in 2016, where would we be tonight, Christian America? Remember, she called us a basket of deplorables, irredeemable. I'm going to change them. Somebody's telling me today about one of Bernie Sanders' people caught on tape talking about what should happen to people who support Trump. They should be taken to re-education camps. That ought to put a chill up your spine. If you have some historical context to that kind of language, and yes, we're talking about Nazi Germany. Now that's really what they want, folks. They want to shut down speech that they disagree with. Now, I've talked about this before. In Canada, which is a very liberal nation, the program that we're doing tonight, the Hamilton Corner, right here, January 20th, 2020, you could not do this program in Canada. Because the things that we've talked about would be described as hate speech. And the radio station would lose its license. Now that's the agenda of the left. It ain't tolerance, folks. Pardon my grammar. It's not tolerance. It's subjugation. And we go right back to this demonstration where we started the program tonight in Richmond, Virginia. What the people were on the streets there today were about is maintaining the freedoms guaranteed in the Constitution. And there is a government there that wants to take the freedoms away, in this case dealing with guns. They want to take that freedom away. They want to poke as many holes as they can in the Second Amendment. And if they could, they would take the Second Amendment away also. The agenda of the left, folks, be very, very clear. And I think one of the speakers that we played there a while ago said it well. It's about taking away freedoms. It's about removing any opposition, silencing any opposition to their far-left, un-Christian agenda. It is plain and simple. And that's why, going back to what we talked about in the initial moments of our program today, this election this year is pivotal. Once again, elections do have consequences. And you better know where the parties stand, where the candidates stand, whether it's at that presidential level or your local candidates, where they stand. And you better be an educated voter. And yes, it does make a difference who you vote for. Staying home is a vote for the other side. And we see it as part of our job here, folks, to educate and to motivate on a daily basis, to be salt and light. And yes, also in the political arena. It's been great to be with you. Fred sitting in for Abe tonight. Lord willing, I think Abe is back tomorrow. And he'll be back here at the Hamilton Corner. Have yourself a great evening, a blessed evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you. And God willing, we'll see you again tomorrow. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.